All right, time for another DoNotGod.com Google is evil production and such. There I am. All right, so counter arguments. I'll make some counter arguments to some really poor arguments. So somebody left a comment about defending, the fact that babies are somehow, very sentient, and we should be very concerned about the welfare of babies, and screw all the other, trillions of animals walking the earth, or crawling the earth, or squirming through the earth. And it's always been a relative comparison, essentially, where your concern should be. So you're playing the game, there's objects in the game, and I'm saying certain objects aren't worthy of much concern because the other objects are. And that's basically the argument. It'd be best if you didn't have to choose anything, if nothing had to pay a price and everything was free. That would be really great. There was no such thing as harm that could happen to a single thing ever. Well, great. But that's not the world we live in. There's trade-offs to be made, and there's places our concern needs to be if certain things are going to happen that'll make the world a less tortured place. So there's always context to statements. So this video is about the fact that the opposers really don't care about context, and they just wish to take pieces of videos, little elements of them. So unlike them, I don't write scripts. I don't in any way really prepare for videos. I make videos just talking through the logic that I have in previous thought. And then there's a time where I say, well, that thought's worth expressing. Or there's a place where it's appropriate to express it. So I express the thought. All right. And so it might not be stated with perfect Shakespearean verbiage. Not that that's perfect verbiage, right? It's for the modern day, anyway. You can't, sometimes you don't get the jokes. Anyway, so there's been, I don't think I'll bother with the Holocaust thing. Well, I guess I'll just touch it a little bit, all right? So I've been labeled some sort of anti-Semitic Holocaust, denier, when I've expressed my sincerest empathy with the horrors that were imposed upon Jews and others by the Nazis for really bad reasons. That was one of my biggest objections, is that if Nazis are going to do some kind of cleansing, they should have picked real criminals. They should have a standard of real criminal that has something to do with, as you could just go back to the Martin Luther King statement of judging the individuals based on the content of their character, not some assumptions that you've propagandized about a race of people or a kind of people or an affiliation of people or, a culture even. But most cultures, I would argue, I suppose, deserve what they get, because it's a club, it's a group. Catholics basically put Judah Jakovorkian in jail for 7 years. I mean, it was a Catholic jury imposing their Catholic ideology into the legal system, to call something a murder that wasn't a murder. Bullshit. And so, it's time to blame the culture, okay? So that's a blamable thing. So I've made it clear that I think bigotry is really retarded and Nazis were really stupid, and it was really horrible. But I don't agree that 4 million Jews were marched into gas chambers. Okay, I don't think that's the way they died. I think the majority of the victims of the Holocaust were killed by horrible attrition. So it was even worse, in my opinion, worse than, spending a week on a train and then being gassed to death. That's not how they died. They died slow and miserable and horrible, and you could see all the pictures of all of the horrible dying. All right, they didn't capture Jews, starve them, and then gas them. That didn't happen. So there's lots of pieces of the story that, you know, for different reasons people create stories, and so I don't think 4 million Jews died by Zyklon B. I don't even, you know, frankly, don't think that many died being gassed to death. Okay, that's not the way I think they died. And I don't think the evidence supports a belief that 4 million Jews were killed that way. But it supports an ideology where people want to say it was from the very beginning an extermination policy and all that crap, when I don't think that's what it was. So that's my personal opinion. Now, I never cared to opine on it voluntarily. Okay, I only opined on it because other people were in fact denying the Holocaust ever happened, that there were ever Jews and that they ever were killed, and that any of that happened in the way it's stated. And so in defense of that, I was just expressing, well, I don't think those are facts you can make up or change or be skeptical about, but there are some facts that, yes, you can. And don't confuse those two categories, okay? Acceptable modifications and unacceptable, because there is overwhelming evidence. So there's no winning here, right? Because there's people who are just totally invested in this story they've been told, and you cannot in any way propose that that story is flawed or incorrect or imprecise or incomplete. So again, I'll just state for the record, I have nothing, you know, never had an anti-Semitic thought. I certainly don't think whatever being Jewish is should be something called genetic or something that I have any obligation to respect or disrespect somebody's genetic code. So I don't see, I'd never agree with any kind of policy to even, you know, to put anything, to even ask these questions, are you Jewish, you know, or any of that. And I certainly believe it was wrong for it was evil for the Nazis to segregate Jews, to scarlet letter them, in every way socially disenfranchise them, to steal their earned possessions, and to eventually work them to death and starve them to death. I think that's just as bad as it can get. So I'm, you know, if that's Holocaust denying, okay, call me a Holocaust denier, but I think it's a ridiculous accusation. Absolutely ridiculous. But people do it. All right. So then there's the subject of a school shooter who will remain nameless, because frankly, my opposers are giving him glory. Okay, this is exactly what he wanted, was to be somebody, because he felt nobody. He felt irrelevant and powerless and impotent. Okay, and you know, he needed, okay, this event to make him to get off on it, essentially, to get off on thinking about you people, you know, saying his name and associating him with a place and all of that. That's exactly what he wanted. So you're feeding, okay, that parallel psychology that no doubt exists. Now, clearly I'm talking to people who are disenfranchised and disaffected and in some ways feeling impotent. And, you know, so yes, that's going to be a substantial part of my audience, because I empathize with their incapacity to find anything about modern culture or the existing culture to be respectable, that they live on a planet full of morons and idiots. So yes, they're going to gravitate, okay, eventually, maybe, it's more likely they're going to be watching my videos than somebody who isn't, to somebody who's all gung-ho and in the system and playing their whatever, watching their commercials, okay, watching their Super Bowl. They're too busy watching their Super Bowl to pay any attention to my videos. All right, so anyway, so this nutter, okay, this person with problems, frankly, okay, a lot of psychological problems, broken human being. So he did watch some of my videos, apparently, and he didn't frankly like them much. Why? Because they were too moralizing, okay? So he was basically a nihilist. He did perceive himself as being far superior to all the other humans. Clearly he thought he was in a single player game, and he turned that right into the direct actual reality rather than just the metaphor. he was playing it as a single shooter, okay? And that's the way he looked at it, that this was, these were his glory trophies. You know, how many people he could hurt, okay, and be somebody, because he couldn't do anything to help anybody, so he could do something to be a problem. And so it was just about him thinking he deserved, his essence was somehow more important than everybody else's, and it should be glorified. And he couldn't find a way to do that by just doing anything good in the world, because he was, you know, impotent and incompetent. And so he chose, you know, the available alternative, which was the cheap shot. And he took it. Cheap shots. Lots of cheap shots. At really poor targets. So he was also associated with pedophiles. Now, there was no conversation between me and this individual in any personal way at all. I didn't know of his existence, didn't know of his, even his commentary or his opinions. Never made a reaction video, as far as I know, in any context to anything he ever commented or said. So I'm in no way connected. I'm nowhere more connected than Schopenhauer, which is a book he read. Okay, some of the philosophers he read, Nietzsche. I'm no more connected than they're connected, in the sense that, and I even have the better evidence of my disconnect, in the sense that he actually did point to me as being something that he thought was trivial, and you know, he had less respect for. He didn't like the speechifying, the moralizing, as he put it. So, frankly, how am I in any way subjected, or my philosophy in any way subjected to this idiotic notion that somehow we're causal, when it's exactly the opposite? I didn't cause it, frankly. No chance you can make that rational argument. And I certainly didn't cause the disaffection and all of the other crap that was happening in his life. You know, the fact that he was a basement dweller, literally, and, you know, had no viable future. Okay, that's the whole reason, frankly, he did this, is because he was basically going to get evicted from the life he was completely dependent on. It was a death sentence, one way or the other. I mean, be institutionalized or die. And he chose to die in a, you know, fiery mess. Again, nothing to do with my philosophy. Nothing to do with a philosophy that says reduce the amount of harm. Don't in any way recklessly or through negligence allow more harm to take place. Absolutely no reason to think I would ever advocate for such poor target selection, when I've made actual videos mocking, okay, these psychotics for their poor target selection. Of all the things that need shooting in the world, they're picking the worst possible targets to do anything productive, to make the world at all a better place. So again, it's just such a silly. Why don't you put the store where he bought his candy, why don't you put that store in jail? You know, because the candy contributed. I mean, what the hell is this crap that people will sit there and this guilt by association? It's just, you know, it's such a cheap, obnoxious tactic, and especially in these cases where it's so dramatically a bad event. And again, you can't come up with a single quote from me that would in any way defend any notion that I've ever said anything to indicate I had any sympathy with the notion that people should go out and shoot citizens. You know, no, they shouldn't, especially the kids. Yes. You know, I mean, I hate making those distinctions. I mean, I know that's, you know, more reason for people to create a false notion that somehow I think shooting an adult is just as bad as shooting a kid, but whatever. We'll save that for another time, another argument. I'm just saying, it's just such a pathetic argument to make that I had any real connection, that the philosophy of effulism, understanding that we're in a cruel planet with cruel forces and there's deserve has nothing to do with it, and all of those insights have anything to do with the psychology that would motivate somebody to go kill kids. It's just idiotic to make any such association. So, you know, fuck you to these these cheap shot artists. All right, so the other subject tangentially affected is this idea of pedophilia. And the fact is, I have made videos in response to people arguing in defense, okay, where they're saying they should lower the age of consent, that young children are capable of making these decisions, blah, blah, blah. Now, I countered that argument, okay, by saying, no, there shouldn't be weaker laws. There, in fact, should be stronger laws. We should ensure that every prostitute is a prostitute because they chose to be one. They said, oh, I don't want a good job where I get paid a nice salary to do some kind of, hi, this is the office, can I get you a cup of coffee? No, they can't get some, just make sure that people make choices. And we should do everything we can to make sure that nobody is dragged by necessity or a lack of options into being a slave to somebody else's sex desires and be extorted into it. And especially, okay, the younger the kid gets, okay? So yes, I wouldn't lower the age of consent, and I would probably make a lot of sex trafficking illegal because it is just exploitation of desperate people. And they do desperately stupid things. And they're stupid. That's probably it too, okay? They got to be pretty stupid to be subjected to the disease and all the other stuff that comes with the job. The actual threat that they're going to be a victim of a crime because there are psychotics who will choose them as the victim because they're easily accessible. So lots of reasons to oppose it. So I'm opposing anyone who thinks acting on these desires is appropriate. And I'm merely saying I'm empathetic with the people who have the desires. And I'm not retarded. I don't think that them masturbating to images in any way threatens anybody in any substantial way. That it is it's hardly a horrible, evil crime that somebody, find. They get gratification from it. They watch this stuff. They get off on it. I wouldn't care if people got off on, Inmenda murder scenes. Somebody makes a fake Inmenda murder scene and they enjoy it and say, "Ooh, good. Blow, cut his head off. Do this. Do that. Poke his eyes out." And they enjoy it. Who cares? All right. It's virtual. And or even if if I do die in some horrible way and it is videoed, I'm not saying, "Oh, take down the video. Don't let anybody see it. Don't let anybody enjoy it." That would be stupid of me, frankly. Because if it satisfies their desires and gives them a life that they can live, I'm merely making the argument if they have a livable life, then they don't have to exploit. And then they have the power to resist the exploitation, just as I have the power to resist the desire maybe to have a chicken sandwich, because I have alternative ways to satisfy my needs. I can find something else to do it. Even virtual, not that I go for any of that fake stuff, but whatever. I can shape, some of their food like a drumstick, and I don't need anymore. I'm not compelled. I'm not driven as hard. And so I'm just making that simple argument that people can find a way to be gratified and to create a life for themselves that isn't unsatisfying. I think it would be retarded to say, oh, we should ban that and we should do everything we can to make that not possible. Make it not possible for them to find meaningful gratification. Of course, make it possible for them to find meaningful gratification in some way besides creating victims, of course. But that, though, in no way am I saying, if you can demonstrate with actual proof that there's some connection, okay, between them, that you somehow can change somebody's sexual preferences merely by practice. Saying that if a homosexual has I'll try to never have a homosexual thought, and therefore I will not be a homosexual anymore. Well, if you have some statistics that prove that actually works, then fine. And then we can also ban regular porn, because we know regular porn degrades women and probably ends up getting women beaten and raped. So we can make that connection, and we can ban porn for everybody. Okay. because it's all in some way negative images that please people. Now, if I ran the world, okay, Freddy's Nightmare movies would have never been made. All of the Stabber, Jabber films, Chainsaw Murder, none of these movies would ever be made because I see absolutely zero value in them. And I have to just wonder what kind of lunatic can sit there and watch that shit, okay, and in some way enjoy it. So the fact that I don't understand, does that mean I think that we should pass a law that says no other person can see creative value in it, or no other human being could actually enjoy watching other human beings get killed or something? Well, of course they can, okay? I'm not going to pass a law against it. I'm not going to pass a law against people who like to watch cop shows and ambulance chase scenes and, you know, all that kind of crap. Yeah, not for me. I don't like, you know, I don't even like a picture of inside of a hospital, let alone video inside of a hospital. Gross. So that's me. All right, so all this projection is involved, and it's all projection from old archaic culture. So that's the other part, just makes this whole argument so ridiculous that these people are pretending to be atheists and, you know, free thinkers and some kind of, you know, skeptic, and they're just, this is cliche inquisitional nonsense. This is scarlet letter bullshit, their tactics. This is witch burning. This is so fucking stupid and useless. This will not get to the core of the problem. It doesn't even glance at it. It doesn't even get close to being a rational response to the fact that people will have these desires. And the whole point is to say, well, you know, you have a condition. Let's find a treatment for it. Okay, you can't, you know, because you can't spread your disease, so to speak. You can't communicate it. You know, and we know that that's the cycle that sort of happens, that abusers end up becoming, the abused end up becoming abusers somehow, which I never really understood either, okay? It's a little bit of a, you know, there's a disconnect there, and so it's a certain kind of abuse, I think, that creates an abuser, and that's where it gets into this whole friendly, you know, molestation and, you know, it's just a very dangerous in terms of all the psychologies involved. And the last place you should be looking is to say somehow my rhetoric is in some way encouraging people to act on their desires. That I'm saying, oh, yeah, it's worth it. Go ahead. If you want a chicken sandwich, eat a chicken sandwich. You know, no, I'm not saying any of that stuff. I'm saying, constantly saying, okay, try to maximize your performance. Try to be an asset. Try to improve other people's condition. Never recklessly or through just gross negligence miss an opportunity, so to speak, that's right in front of you to be helpful rather than hurtful in terms of your effect. Now, clearly we're in a world where lots of people are doing a great deal of harm thinking they're being beneficial to the world. And they're clearly not. So that's got to be part of the argument, is this context that everything is in. So I will say that, yeah, rich people are, if you want a real, you want to find a perpetrator, go find the inheritance wealthy and go find some other people that are real perpetrators in the sense that they're consuming so much resource and so much value. And therefore, that value can't do any work in the real world because it's been squandered and wasted. And most especially, it squanders the value of labor because our labor is all servicing people's eccentricities rather than building Hoover dams or doing anything valuable. So those get to real social context. So you can have a criminal who's in criminal in the simple sense that he beats his wife. You can have a criminal in a social sense that, say, a cop who breaks the laws and fakes evidence. You can have criminals on all kinds of levels, and the amount of harm they're capable of doing or perpetrating can be amazingly huge. So I would say that you could take 100 filthy rich people, and I would argue to you they have done more harm to humanity than all of the pedophiles and all the rapists and all the wife beaters and all the wife murderers and all the, you know, psychotics put together, and that you have poorly chosen what you're afraid of and what you wish to fix in the world. And so this does get to the subject of antinatalism and this whole philosophy of of first do no harm, in the sense that, yes, that's what the philosophy is based on. It's mitigating against the real harm. And what's the real harm? The real harm is the recklessness and the silliness of people's expectations when they engage in this life-creating thing without any notion of building a proper nest and guaranteeing a future and any of that crap. And they're just opening the door to all kinds of magnitudes of horror. And that's a bad thing. All right, so I'll take a little break. And so we got the Holocaust, the school shooter, tangentially, just in the merest of tangential connections, because he just happened to be a guy who did a lot of reading and philosophizing. So he read a few pages of my book, okay, and didn't pay much attention. All right, that's my connection. The scary pedophile argument. So again, my argument isn't that any pedophile should ever act on their desires in the real world. They should never exploit a child. You shouldn't exploit any human being for your sexual gratification, whether it's an adult woman, an old lady, it doesn't matter who it is. You should never exploit somebody. You shouldn't lie to them. You shouldn't cheat them in any way in the relationship. And clearly, you can't have a relationship with any child that isn't inherently exploitive, because they can be deceived and they can, you know, you can fuck with their destiny and their future. They are a conditionable object. Their clay hasn't hardened yet, and you can reshape them really easily. And so that should always be that you don't win in that circumstance. You can't have a win-win game, because whatever, you know, whatever your ambitions are, it has to be focused on what's the best way to mold their clay. And clearly, exposing kids to, you know, sex too early, or notions of their identity and their preferences and all that stuff, is completely moldable, and they just should never be in any relationship with an adult who is attempting to gain their own gratification through that relationship. So I can't be more explicit in my opposition. It should be hard crime. You do hard time. You can't expose a kid to a broken future by exploiting it in the present. And I'm sorry, you need gratification that way, and I have all kinds of empathy for your fact that you need love and you need to feel, what's the word to use, that the world makes sense, but it doesn't. It's a shitty world full of shit, but the thing is you got to make it less worse, not more worse. All right, and you're not going to make it less worse by exploiting kids. So I can't, you know, can I be more explicit? I don't know. Can I be more opposed? I don't know. I mean, I could say we should program school shooters to shoot pedophiles. You know, I mean, how far do I have to go to be in the right category of, oh, I'm not for exploitation? Besides saying it, I'm not for exploitation. Shit. But the liars don't care. So they don't care about what you're really saying. They just care what they can quote mine, how they can play with the words you've used, your vernacular and your vocabulary. And so when I'm talking about having empathy for human beings who have broken functionality, you know, they have a need that's, you know, they're vampires in some way, I don't see any problem having empathy for vampires and saying, well, look, maybe there's some other way we can get you your dinner. You know, your thirst can be satisfied, and you don't have to sit there and bite people in the neck and make them vampires. I mean, that's just not acceptable. And because I say that, somehow I'm for it. Somehow I create vampires. I mean, too silly. All right. Anyway. Oh, God, I hate this planet. It's just covered in asshole and moron. Everywhere you look. See, that'll be the statement. I mean, you know, well, yeah, it's an undeniable truth. That is my perception. You all are really fucking stupid. Eek. All right, back. So we will move on to a comment. James V. All right. So he says response to Godfrey slander video. And frankly, I don't think it's much of a response to that video because you're just going to do the same thing, okay, and take a complex subject, okay, the how we evaluate the meaningfulness of something sentient. So there's this scale, right? Karen Ann Quinlan, brain dead. How much is she still alive? I mean, she twitches. Her eyeballs might spin around now and then. Something happen. You know, ears. Something might happen, but is it a real function or a nothing function? Is she in some? Is she trapped in hell? Okay, but she still is. Brains doing things, dreaming. You know, adventures. And it's all in some uncontrolled context, you know, where she never can wake up, and you could make up all kinds of stuff. And the fact is that these truths are in kind of gray areas. All right, so I'm opining, okay, on how I make these deductions, and I'm explaining in kind of long videos explaining why I think certain things. And so I make a relative comparison between a newly born chimpanzee and a newly born human being. And we watch their maturation, and one of them is at this accelerated rate, and one of them is at this insanely retarded rate. And so what can we glean from that in terms of understanding the capacity of a thing to manifest the circumstance of, say, torture? What can be tortured? You know, I've brought up butterflies. You know, they go from being a caterpillar, they're in a real world, they have a functioning brain, they can learn left and right, okay, so their brain is letting them know through sensation what's going on in the world, and then they, you know, go into a chrysalis, and their body parts are torn to pieces, and they're turned into a soup, and that little brain is still left in one piece. Does that brain experience the torture of having its parts ripped off and moved around? Who knows? Nature wouldn't care, that's a fact, if it tortured or didn't torture. But you can understand that there's certain efficiencies that nature also likes, and that the manifestation of torture is a highly taxing physically experience. It's a way of the system shuts down. The system does a lot of things. It's like a puffer fish. I could use that example. The puffer fish doesn't puff just because, oh, I saw a cloud and it looked like an elephant and it was going to sit on me, and I got scared and I puffed. No, it only puffs, okay, when a pretty dramatic physical circumstance happens, because the puffing part is really physically damaging and it's going to have to recover from doing it. All right, so anyway, so this is not a simple argument. It's a complex, layered argument, okay, where I'm making comparisons relative to other things. And so if you're going to care about something in the world, I'm saying the sentient pig, okay, the one-year-old sentient pig, has a lot more value as a sentient organism capable of experiencing than, yes, the three-year-old child. And I'm saying that's probably a physical reality. So I'm just saying, where are you going to apportion your concern in the world? I'm saying your concern shouldn't be with, this all started because of circumcision, frankly, because people think it's the worst trauma in the universe that happens. And I'm just, you know, I'm arguing it's just bullshit. Okay, you can believe whatever you want to believe, but it's bullshit. Because they're fanatics for a position. And so they can't have a rational argument that, from my perspective, I see no harm, no foul, and, nothing but positives. You know, so, and they want to say, no, nature is good, nature is right, keep the skanky foreskin, blah, 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 blah. And that's their fanatic position. So it's Christian-Muslim thing. It just, this is a war that no one's going to win. But anyway, I am perplexed that someone as otherwise intelligent as you could believe that human babies aren't sentient. So I never said they weren't sentient, like they nothing at all goes on. But what I have pointed out is that you can clearly see the only thing that happens, the only reflexes, the only knee jerks that are working in a baby are knee jerks to signal to a parent, the mother, that it needs something. okay, that it's in a bad place or something. It's just to signal to some other brain that can feel, okay, an emotional response and a reaction. It's not doing it for its own sake. It's not doing it to save itself, in a sense. Okay, it doesn't have a reflex to run. It doesn't have a reflex. Doesn't have a coherent reflex. So I'm saying every time a baby cries, it doesn't necessarily have anything to do with any real physical harm. It just has to do with the biological detection sensor saying it's time to knee-jerk crying. It's a knee-jerk for a baby. It's not a, I did it. I intended to cry. None of that's taking place. All right. or believe there is any room for doubt that they are sentient. Yeah, I think there's plenty of room for doubt. The fact that their brain isn't completely formed is good reason to doubt. The fact that they're going through the birth canal, your skull is made in segments for the very purpose of compressing, okay, to be born. All right, so the brain isn't in a fully functional form. And clearly, even for chimpanzees, this is a truth. Okay, even for the other sentient apes, this is a truth. They're not born experiencing the world and saying, what's happening and how can I become involved? And, their thoughts and their feelings have no coherent connection to each other. They haven't even figured out gravity yet. All right, so their brain is still working on it. Where, say, a deer is born, it has to know, within 15 minutes, within 10 minutes, Frank, within frickin' 58 seconds, the damn thing is trying to stand up, okay? But a newborn chimpanzee isn't doing any of that. It's not swinging from the trees. It's not capable because it's... And the intent is for it to become oriented to an environment and to create the software, the operating system. It isn't fully functional. And for you to pretend it is fully functional would be it. So is that what we're arguing? You're saying it is fully functional, and I'm saying, no, it's something a lot less than fully functional. You haven't installed the spark plugs. There's no distributor cap. There's no this. There's no battery. This isn't nearly a car. Okay, so you can call it one, but it really isn't one. That's my argument. And I'm arguing that there would be no use for reward and punishment. That is, emotional reward and punishment intended to create a learning experience. There's nothing for it to learn because it's not in the real world yet. Okay, so it's just operating on programs. It's just operating on suckle, suckle, grab, grab, looking for hair to grab onto, Human babies do that. It's just doing very rudimentary responses because that's all it's ready for, okay? It isn't ready to, integrate into the world that it's been born into. I mean, we can become mermaids or we become tree swingers or we can become rock climbers, like mountain goats. I mean, that's the whole advantage of the human organism is that it can adapt to all these different kinds of environments based on just raising it in it. Because the fact is, it's not born with a bunch of programs that say, I'm a snapping turtle, I'm a snapping turtle, I'm a snapping turtle, or I'm a fish, I'm a fish, I'm a fish. It's got programming that's intended to make us adaptable to all kinds of social structures and all kinds of different ways of human beings existing. And it can be born into any one of those things and maturate into it. But it can't do it if it was born with a bunch of pre-existing emotional responses and physical pain, which would do it pretty much no good because it has, like a plant, it has nowhere to go. What good is the pain going to do a baby? It would be the simple answer. What good is it going to do it? It can't do a damn thing about it. Okay, it can't run away from the fire. It can't do any of this stuff. Shit. All right. When you're in their presence, gross, you notice that they are clearly react to external stimuli. So does, I can take a certain bugs and I can cut them literally in half. And half of the bug is still acting like everything's just fine. no problem. I mean, it can still walk, it can still do all this stuff, you know. You can poke it and it'll still reflex, you know, you can get its legs to move, all kinds of stuff will happen. So let's not pretend, okay, that all reactions are created by the same process, because they're not. There are knee jerks, and then there's leg movements, and then there's all kinds of autonomic systems, and then there's, you know, cognitive systems. There's different systems, and I'm just arguing that, you know, unlike you, I think it's a lot of autonomic system, and there isn't much conscious system in a child, a very young child. All right, external stimuli by doing things like smiling when people are nearby. So you really can't understand that that would just be a reaction, that it doesn't have anything to do with what they're actually feeling. It just has to do with the fact that they're soliciting comfort and care from the people who are completely dependent on. So that's like you smiling at the banker when you go into the bank. Okay, like hoping the banker will give you a little extra money or something. It's like you smiling at your girlfriend or something, and instead of just saying, "God damn, I hate you bitches." You know, come on. That's just propaganda for the audience, okay? That's nothing to do with its real internal condition. It has to do with in making an environment that's more likely to get it nipple to suck on. You don't get that? If it's all cranky and you know, spitting and, you know, snarling and got sharp little teeth, yeah, it's not likely to get the nipples. All right, the average amount of time it takes for children to learn their first words is 12 months. All right, well, it says you. Okay, and what would the word be? Okay, besides just some sort of, again, a routine. This is what this is how the machine is made in terms of how it maturates. And clearly it doesn't, it says words it doesn't even know the meaning of. It's just that it's heard them before and it's supposed to mimic. That's its whole job, is mimicking. That's how a lot of the intelligent mammals maturate, is they see it and they mimic it. They hear it, they mimic it. We're parrots, okay, in that sense. We're learning the songs. We're learning how to sing the songs. But for you to say at 1 year old they have any knowledge of what the words mean, I think, okay, you're full of shit. And you think they're probably not sentient for the first 3 years? How? Well, I think the argument is what's the purpose of the sensations? And the purpose is reward and punishment. And the reward and punishment has to be in a rational context. If you're experiencing something and it's not connected to an event, then you don't learn anything, right? So if I'm standing, you know, I ended up with vertigo, and I searched my brain trying to find reasons why I ended up being uncomfortable with heights. And then I remembered that there was, you know, a couple of events where I was doing roofing work, and, you know, there was, you know, one time my center of gravity went in the wrong direction, and I, you know, kind of stumbled backwards, you know, almost off a roof. And it was a real wake up, like, fuck, I got to do something, because, you know, I'm exposing myself to insane risk. You know, and you know, I never did anything about it, though. You know, some kind of harness or some kind of mechanism to ensure that I, you know, like maybe always pick up something as I'm standing up, just to make sure my center of gravity is in the right direction, you know, towards the roof rather than going the other way. So anyway, it was just a little sensation, but I did panic a little. I did have an event, but it didn't bother me for years, you know, 3 or 4 years later, until I got the vertigo. So, you know, the argument is that was that working in my psychology over time? This was a little lesson to be learned, and now my system has conditioned it into me, and blah, 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 blah. And now it somehow made that connection. I can't see any of that. I can't, you know, we can only model it. We can only try to understand how these things could be connected. Maybe that has nothing to do with it at all. Okay. So the point is that the whole point of feeling is to have coherent connections between what you're feeling and the real world's producing, and that somehow you're going to be better reactor or actor in the world. So the fact is you don't get hit by a tree unless you walk into a tree, right? So there's a good connection there. But in other parts, the connections are looser and more abstract. And certainly how we're conditioned and who we love and all this other kind of stuff, our sexual identity, all that kind of stuff is so screwed up in terms of what signals end up creating the learning. But the fact is, it's for the purpose of learning. And I'm just saying that obviously the substantially immature human, okay, isn't living in the real world yet. There's no point in it learning to be afraid of heights, for example, or some other thing, because it's not really living in the world it's going to eventually live in. So if it did any hard conditioning or any hard learning, that isn't just related to vocabulary and other kinds of things, there would be no point in it being emotionally connected to a world it doesn't exist in. It won't exist in. So that's my argument, that's why there's a huge disconnect between, you know, installing the operating system is different than installing your conditioned life experience, you know, what you're going to be as a human being. There are two things. The learning for the operating system is a different mechanism than learning, okay, to be in a world. All right. How? Well, the how is based on this complex evolution argument that has to do with what would be the function of it. Is there any point in torturing a child? You could argue from an evolutionary point of view, would it really make any sense? All they really need to do is signal an adult. So they need to be triggerable to cry, and they do that. There's every bit of evidence that they trigger insanely easily, all right? And so it doesn't require them to have some emotional reaction first and then decide to cry. It's just a trigger. It's a knee jerk. It's a reflex. All right, you cite the formation of memories as an indication of sentience. Obviously, learning words requires cognition. And again, but learning words is, you don't need torture. Okay, you don't need, you know, the reward and punishment is so much more subtle in the sense that all you have to do is see that you're, you know, you can hear your own words and you can hear whether it sounds the same as what you're trying to mimic. So your brain is just doing that kind of thing. So, you know, it's like saying you don't have an emotional response when you recognize the number 5 and it's not the number 3 or it's not the number 2. It's not some sort of hard sentient experience. But clearly you get, there's a little triggers, you know, in the brain that say, yes, those two match. And you get a little endorphin kick, you know, a little tiny bit of your brain says, good answer, you know. All right, cognition, which is a function of memories. Okay, so again, I'm saying the function of memories is to improve your performance in the world. And the clear argument can be made is that there's no way for a very young human to do any useful conditioning when it's living in such a fake world. It's not living in the real world yet. It's living in the parent-controlled world. All right. But surely if you're not completely sure about this belief, you would agree it's right to follow the precautionary principle in ethics. Well, I mean, surely I've never suggested people should just grotesquely and gratuitously whack babies. So this is a silly argument. I'm making relative comparisons and pointing out that there, if you're going to sit there and say, oh, what a horror, a human child has cancer, or this, I'm going to make the obvious point that, well, if you're concerned with that, you should really be concerned about this over here. You know, this slaughter over here. You know, these little turtles getting pecked to death by blackbirds or seagulls. You know, this other thing that's happening, because frankly, the amount of sentience being traumatized and tortured is frankly much huger over there than it is over there. I'm saying you have a disproportional respect for sentience in the world. And I'm saying the amount of sentience that's happening in 3-year-old or younger humans is so frickin' goddamn tiny compared to the amount of sentience that's going on in just chimpanzee, 3-year-old chimpanzees. our three-year-old pigs, our three-year-old dogs, our three-year-old anything almost, any other mammal you could choose, are doing more real sentience because those animals are living in a real world where it's life and death. They have to learn the right lessons. I mean, you know, I marvel, frankly, at the feral cats here. You know, the fact that in 1 year they completely own the environment in the sense of they learn how to survive. They can do all of this stuff. Just amazing that you could even, how the hell they can figure it all out. You know, they have to evade the cars and they have to somehow eat the right garbage. And they have to do all this stuff. And then they have to raise their kittens in the winter and in this hell. And it's amazing, you know, what they're capable of doing. And they had to learn all of that through this mechanism of being conscious. All right, but surely you're not completely sure about this belief. Okay, yeah, obviously. I've never said, like I said, this is a stupid, patronizing pile of shit. Why would you even interject this nonsense? You could have at least phrased it more rationally. Well, surely you don't think people should choose to, well, shall I draw in my coloring book or shall I kill a baby? Yeah, duh. Where if you're uncertain of a sentient being's capacity to be harmed, then you should treat it in the manner that you would if it were 100% guaranteed. So again, this on or off thing, like everything's on or everything's an off, would be stupid because then, you know, you're going to get trapped by your own philosophy. Because then every insect, every earthworm, every single organism on this planet that has a brain, okay, that can learn, I would argue you have no reason to believe sentience doesn't happen exactly at that moment. Then anything that's learning is learning through reward and punishment. The reward is the good feeling, the punishment is the bad feeling, and that you're in a real hell then. Okay, so that's all I'm saying. So if you want to go by that, it's fine, but just take responsibility for it, which means that you have to believe that a grasshopper is, you know, experiencing this immense amount of sentient reality and torture. Okay, that they feel pain in that circumstance, and therefore, even if you think there's room for doubt about their sentience, they should be given the exact same moral consideration. This is absolute nonsense. You can't give them the exact same moral consideration. You can't live on planet Earth then, okay? Because every time you marginally just walk down the street, you're creating all kinds of sentient harm. There's no practical existence. So you have to be even more draconian than me and say we must immediately nuke the planet because all these sentient organisms are being harmed. Where does this go? It's either 100% conscious or 100% not. That's just illogical, unnecessary, myopic thinking. All right? It just is. The fact is, there will be circumstances you might even run into in your life where you'll have to make one of these decisions. You know, where there's a big tsunami and there's two things floating down the tsunami, okay? The one-year-old baby and, a 25-year-old woman. And you're going to have to choose which you're going to grab. Which one you're going to save from a negative sentient experience of being killed. You're going to choose poorly, okay, with your philosophy. What are you going to do? Eeny, meeny, miny, mo? And you miss both of them? All right, anyway. So, a consideration for harm as an adult. Well, again, I'm just saying there's no reason to be that myopic. There's no reason to turn it black and white like that. There's no reason to do that. You can understand that, yes, there's gradations, that I can be in a drug-induced state where I'm feeling no pain. There can be lots of circumstances that change what has a respectable consciousness. And that's just you don't even want to have the conversation. You just want to pretend there is no conversation and only humans feel. Well, that's just bullshit. Like there's uncertainty among biologists if lobsters feel pain when being boiled alive, so we should treat them as if they definitely do feel pain when being boiled alive and not use that method of killing to euthanize a lobster. Well, the real question would be is if the water is boiling enough, their death is quick enough that, you know, it's a quick death. And then there's another argument where if you boil them really slowly, they don't realize they're being boiled to death because they don't have any evolution, doesn't give them any triggers for that. It's like weed, you know, I can put you in a nitrogen environment and you'll suffocate without knowing why you're suffocating. Okay. You know, there won't be any apparent cause for your passing out. You know, you'll have a reduced amount of repulsive sensation. It won't be like drowning or some of the thing where your body physically knows how to react to the circumstance because of the, it will be fooled. Your body will think it's still getting plenty of oxygen when it's not. All right. And, so you'll die. I mean, I can't say it's not unpleasant, but I mean, you'll be less unpleasant because you won't feel that choking urgency problem. I haven't done it, so I can't say for sure. Don't write it in a book somewhere. So again, here you're talking about lobsters. I mean, then, you know, so we're getting to, you know, complex kind of gradations. So obviously, crustaceans are, you know, frankly, quite developed, you know, in terms of their brain function. They certainly have a lot of habits. They have a lot of behaviors. And they're certainly living in a world where they learn through their experience. So, yes, they're sentient. Their brain is experiencing day-to-day experiences. And over time, they gain knowledge and more efficient habits and all of the functions that come with doing that processing, which sort of demonstrates that feeling is a very old evolutionary invention, not a recent one. Okay, it isn't associated, you know, we didn't feel until we invented baseball. You know, that's not how it works. And so, yeah, I would agree that all of these things are worthy of our attention. But are you really proposing that this is a practical consideration, that you could in any way practically react to the world that exists if you're going to make a concession to this argument? Because there really isn't anything for you to do but say, blow it up immediately, right? There's no, how do you solve this problem? You can't solve it. What are you going to do for the lobsters that are getting killed in the ocean and not being boiled alive? They just die of old age. You don't give them any morphine. You don't help them out at all. So those lobsters are just as worse off, right? They're not going to die any better life. You're just saying how long my lobster lives is the only real issue. To think that being boiled alive is worse than their inevitable fate if they were left in the ocean, which is to be crushed by a, you know, shark or a turtle or some other organism is going to show up and fuck them over. You think that death is better? The experience is going to be more fun? You know, it's less harmful? Bullshit. So I don't even know what context we could even exercise. You know, what's your point? You know, I mean, do you really think the lobster's better off being in nature and eventually killed by a parasite that, you know, eats its shell or something? Slowly? A fungus? You know, slowly eats it alive? What the fuck? What's your great answer? What's your solution to the lobster problem? And then we can go on to the what will be a billion other little organisms that also have a problem. All right, anyway, so just very unrealistic to throw that in the end as if that somehow creates sharp resolution and we can understand that we must always react with a panic and, you know, any sentience is a complete sentience. I mean, this isn't a rational argument and certainly not a counter to my argument that of all the things on this planet that need attention and concern and our worry and our help, babies probably aren't the place to look. the place to look is in the nursing home and a lot of other places where there's plenty of trauma and torment going on that you're not paying any attention to. The homeless shelter, you know, lots of places to look. All right, that's probably enough of a blah, blah context. So I'm not, you know, like I said, I'm not, I'm just giving you reason to say, okay, let's not go with these conventional theory that were invented by a god to live in heaven, you know, and do potato farming and blah, blah, blah. No, that it's the story of life on Earth is a lot more than that. A billion years of practical evolution of chemistry, and we have all kinds of functions, and there is a difference, and there's just a difference between individual humans about how they experience their environment, how much they feel, how sensitive they are, how bad their feelings are. I mean, somebody could say, I have a headache. Do you think the word headache means the same thing to every human? No, I don't think so. So it's, you're just pigeonholing and turning it into some sort of black and white. Like I'm saying, babies are made out of cardboard. Clearly, I'm not saying a newborn baby is a piece of cardboard, all right? It is, you know, it's a, you know, gooey biological organism. But let's understand that if you're going to go there and say that it's already doing a whole bunch of sensating, okay, that it's prepared to learn and it's doing a lot of emotional feeling and a physical feeling of pain, then you're going to have to concede that its transition from being in a uterus to being into the outside world was terribly traumatic, and that we should force all women to have cesareans because it's too dramatic to pressurize and force it out. You know, first, you know, squeeze all the water out of its environment and then, you know, push it out the birth canal. We can't have that, you know, because it's too dramatic. That's the implications of where you're going. And I think it is reasonable to say, well, relative to, you know, the pig in a disgusting, you know, there's other dead pigs in the sty it's in a disgusting environment, that pig is in more need of help than that baby. That would be my argument. A lot more need, a lot more real need exists in the world. There's little baby birds in nests right now. They're just going to get kicked the fuck out. Okay, they're going to get kicked to the curb by their brothers or by their mother. And it's going to be ugly as fuck. And they're going to be dropped and they're going to squirm on the ground till they're done in by exposure in a slow, horrible process. They need rescuing because those little animals are in the real world. And those little animals are more alive. Okay. So enough of the video. So till the next time and such. So I guess I have to do this now and then, just deal with all the misparaphrases and the perversions. And, you know, it's just unfortunate that people are so scummy and they can't make stand-up arguments. They can't deal with real subjects. Sucks, but that's the reality, unfortunately. There's not many people capable of, arguing methodically and diligently and carefully and consistently, and doing it in some sort of way where you have to have some kind of respect for facts. All right. Even that word, you know, the word should trigger. Yeah. Facts, woo. That's an important word. Too many people, it's just not. It's just another weapon to use. All right. So, till the next time. And such, and so forth, and whatnot. Suppose I could. Probably didn't need this in the image all this time, so. Just kind of got in the way. But anyway, so till the next time, and such and so forth and whatnot. This has been, would I click that? Yeah, that's the one. The programming, constantly driven by the programming. So, just remember, Google is evil. Oh, I forgot to mention. Well, I can mention it in the other video, so I'll mention it in the other one. Yeah. good enough. So till the next time, such. So,